one extreme to the other, but these yearly updates do give us an opportunity to tweak things. Every year is different. Economic drivers, traffic drivers, and construction differ, so we're always dealing with changing inputs. But I'm fairly confident that we've nailed down.
It's good to hear we're above estimates. So it's good to hear that.
Pardon?
It's good to hear we're above estimates on your estimate.
We
last
are,
year, so
we are. And, if we're going to be off in one direction or the other, above is certainly everybody's preference. In terms of gas prices, this is a debate that happens within the traffic and revenue industry quite a bit. How much do they affect things? My personal feeling is that gas prices are a reflection of the overall economy to a degree. Gas prices go up, and everything that depends on transportation goes up. So a direct correlation between gas prices and activity on the tollway, I believe, is an oversimplification. It's drawing too direct a line. I don't believe there is a tremendous direct impact. I think we need to have more concern about the overall economy. In the past, going to and from work is not something that is tremendously elastic. You have to go to work one way or the other. These changes in gas prices are fairly minor compared to everything else that's going on in people's day-to-day lives. We're a heavily commuter system, therefore we're somewhat insulated from changes in gas prices. The place where we do see a little bit of flexibility is in terms of tourism, but again, that's so much more dependent on the weather and the overall economy that gas prices are really secondary. We haven't seen large enough swings in gas prices, nor do we expect large enough swings in gas prices in 2015 to have any substantial impact on the forecast.
That's good to hear. Any comments on the polar vortex continue on this year? Or?
You know, it's really funny that you should say that, because
Jonathan has an opinion, I'm sure.
We are not meteorologists, and I do avoid including anything for weather impacts. However, after last year's winter, I felt that it was prudent to dampen the forecast for the winter months somewhat. I'm not going to attempt to say what month it's going to occur in or how severe it would be, we felt that it was prudent to add a little bit of impact there for the winter months. There's no consensus right now, and I have looked into this, there's no consensus right now whether or not we will see the polar vortex again. With a lack of consensus and our relatively light experience in the realm of meteorology, we chose to assume that it would not occur again because the impacts are so very significant that it would result in perhaps an unrealistic swing in the negative.
Thank you for your help. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions regards to the budget? Okay.
Great. Just a quick update. As you may recall, the board gave us the go-ahead to have a sale through the end of the year on IPAS transponders. And that sale basically includes a lower deposit amount for people who are making manual replenishments. So these are people who are putting, for instance, cash or paying manually for any replenishments on their transponders or their accounts. They're not they don't have auto replenish with a credit card, as well as a lower auto replenishment level. So we've got, instead of a $40 level, the opportunity for people to do $20 auto replenishments. We've had a great deal of success so far with this sale. You know, typically we would see the pre-sale average of new accounts opened every day was around 350. We're seeing actually closer to 650 accounts opened every day since the sale started, and about 450 of those are taking advantage of the new $20 auto replenishment level. So that tells us that it's appealing to customers who would have probably opened an account anyway, but it's also, I think, bringing in some new customers and new account holders. So I think that's very positive news for us. Overall, we've seen, so that accounts for about almost 6,000 new accounts opened at these new $20 levels. And then a little over, I should say, almost 11,700 accounts that were existing accounts that people have called in or opted to lower their auto replenishment level to the $20 amount. So. Really, I think a success. We have a tremendous amount of IPAS users already on our system, but we did want to make sure, because we had heard in our focus groups that people felt that the cost or the perceived cost of it was maybe a barrier to them getting it. They were infrequent users. They didn't want to tie up that much money on an iPass account. So making this change, I think, has been appealing to a segment of our customers who maybe wouldn't have otherwise opened an iPass account, which is, I think, a good thing for us to learn. So stay tuned. We'll have additional updates going forward, but I wanted to make everybody aware that we've had at least this initial success. I think the sale has been going on since October 1.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this initial success already, you know, within the first less than 30 days of the program.
That's great. See, the focus groups really told the story there. It's on the right path. That's great. Anything else, Christy?
That's it for me. Thank you.
Finance has two items.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning again. The first item on the agenda for finance is the approval of an assignment for firms to provide bond underwriting services for a funding bond issue. As we mentioned in the budget presentation, we currently have a team selected and assigned to do a second new money issue this year. Coming late October, early November. In the course of reviewing market conditions for that sale, you know, we have been monitoring throughout much of the year market conditions for a possible refunding of 2006 series bonds. Previously this year, I think we had refunded some 2005 bonds. So market conditions look favorable. We are recommending moving forward with the transaction shortly after the new money transaction. And we're seeking your approval on the assignment of firms to provide bond underwriting services. That recommendation would be for two senior managing underwriters, which would be our typical number of senior managing underwriters selected from a pool that was previously established of 14 firms. RBC Capital Markets and Seabird Brantford Shank is our recommendation, primarily based on rotation of the firms. Each of these firms will be their second transaction. They had previously served as co-senior managers, so they would serve this time as senior underwriters. Co-senior underwriters, recommendation would be Jefferies & Company and J.P. Morgan Securities. Again, second assignment from for each of those firms, and they previously served as senior underwriters. And then the co-managing underwriters, who are a separate pool, Duncan Williams, Janney Montgomery Scott, KeyBank, Raymond James and Associates, and Robert W. Baird. The fees are about $2.50 per thousand, the WBE participation on this deal is estimated to be around 31% on this transaction. And in total, we will be continuing to meet our goal, our kind of voluntary targeted goal of 20% or more.
Are the fees capped at $700,000 or $750,000? Is that about
fees are not capped. They're capped at $2.50 per thousand of principal.
So on a $300 million refund, we're talking about $750,000 in fees.
Yeah, this issue is likely to be less than $300 million, but we've put in kind of the maximum amount.
And then the senior underwriter, 50% of the fees, but 25% of the 50% will go to an MBE firm at Seabird, Brantford, and Shank.
Right,
50%
of the 50%.
50% of the 50%, yeah. Okay. Any questions?
And this is just a refunding, no new money coming out of this?
This would be a refunding, but it would be following the new money issue that we've already assigned.
Just the refunding of the 2006-8, do you have like an estimate of what your savings would be?
I believe it's around $20 million. $25 million now, in present value savings. Under current conditions.
All right, go to market. Any further questions? Okay. And then the second item, you gave the presentation on the 2015 tentative budget. Were there any questions about any follow-up there? There being none, want to take both these items together? under finance. We have a motion to approve under finance items 1 and 2.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes and moves to the full consent agenda of the board. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
So for procurement, John Donato had to attend an event, but we have Sharon Ferguson, who is our number two person in procurement, who's going to be here to present the procurement item. We just have one item this month that Sharon's going to present.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Directors. Procurement has one item for your consideration this morning. It is an award of a tollway invitation for bid to purchase roadway sweepings, pickup, and disposal services. This contract will provide a source for the pickup and disposal of roadway sweepings from 9 tollway maintenance sites. Roadway sweepings are classified as non-hazardous roadway debris such as gravel, dirt, glass, paper, etc., that's collected by the tollway sweeper trucks. The sweepings will be stored in 10-yard, vendor-supplied, roll-off dumpsters. All of these services are performed in accordance with the state and federal EPA regulations. There is a 7% BEP goal on this procurement, which the vendor is committed to. Therefore, we are recommending an award to Independent Recycling Services, Inc. in an amount not to exceed $889,350 for the three-year initial term.
Sure, I saw we only received one bid on this. Can you explain why?
Yes, we did receive one bid on this, but it's important to note that we did do quite a bit of outreach after this was published to some of the vendors in the community based on the music department's recommendation. So they were notified not only by the buyer after it was published, but also ahead of time if they're registered on the IPB, they received automatic notification. So we did do quite a bit of outreach. In addition, this particular vendor has been in business for 38 years. They're very reputable and they're very well known in the Chicagoland area.
And that's a three-year contract, but we can reevaluate this even during
Absolutely.
The contract.
Yes, we have clauses in our contract where we can terminate for convenience if necessary.
Okay. Any questions? Thanks, Sharon. There being having no questions, do I hear a motion to approve under procurement item number 1?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes, moves to the full consent agenda. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
business systems approval of a contract renewal.
That's me.
That's what we heard about from earlier today.
I'm pleased. Go ahead.
No,
well, I'm pleased to bring this to you today. This is our partnership with Ada McKinley, which is a nonprofit organization on the south side of Chicago. They've been working for us for a couple of years now, fulfilling the transponder orders that we get. People call in, they use the web, and they order new transponders. Some of them order them because they're creating new accounts, but a lot of people order new transponders to add to their existing accounts. And it's Ada McKinley that gets those orders actually boxed up and into the mail, and then when they do get things back, transponders back in the mail, they actually work on disposing of those. So we've had a great partnership with them. We've actually in the last 6 months are working with them on proactively calling our big commercial fleets and trying to proactively swap out transponders. So they're ramping up that work as well. And their contract actually ends at the end of this calendar year, their current contract. So we are bringing to the board the recommendation for a one-year renewal with Ada McKinley. They are a state use program, and they have been cost-effective and efficient throughout this process. So we would appreciate the chance to continue working with them, especially as we bring this new system on board, because the fewer changes we have in our partnerships, the better off we are when it comes to learning a new system and getting that up and running.
Because it's such a specialized area they're servicing and working in, is that why there wasn't a diversity goal set?
Well, it's part of the state use program. I have not asked see their diversity numbers, but our visits indicate that they would certainly meet our diversity kind of goals operationally. And a state use program typically is not subject to the same BEP type expectation.
And they were a low bidder of the four, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Several years ago.
Any questions? Thanks, Shauna. There being no further questions, we'll hear a motion to approve under item 8, Business Systems, item number 1. A motion to approve.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent board agenda. Thanks, Shauna.
Thank you.
Engineering has several items. Paul?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Good morning. Engineering has 11 items this morning. This first item is a supplement in amount not to exceed $1,830,000, and this is for additional design services being performed by Parsons Brinkerhoff on contract 4015. This is a three-year professional service contract, which you all awarded back in April of 2012. It's for design services on the east end of I-90. This supplement is similar to the one that I brought to the board last month for CMT, Crawford Murphy & Tilley. It has many of the same reasons. The additional services that this designer, we would like to have this designer provide for us are primarily an increase in the amount of retaining wall that they need to include in their contract documents. We had to make some assumptions when we were negotiating these contracts back in 2012, and some of those assumptions are not exactly true to what is actually going to be required out there. In addition, we have 18 mainline bridges that were scoped initially for rehabilitation. We see the justification and reasoning to do full reconstruction. We'd like to get these bridges fully repaired and restored so that we don't have to be out there again in the near future working on them. We've also incorporated some of our new standards related to a moment slab. Overall, the contractor, the consultant here, Parsons Brinkerhoff, has been performing very well. They delivered on all their assignments. They're meeting their DBE commitment. And this overall fee, even with the supplement, is still in the general range of what we'd like to see on our contracts.
So again, these were our assumptions. So basically, the additional retaining walls and the bridge reconstruction range, we added those after the fact, after we negotiated the
Some of those are contract. Based on, yes, what is found during the development of the design documents. For instance, the bridges, they go out and inspect the bridges. If they see that the bridges, a rehabilitation won't necessarily serve the full needs, then, you know, we ask them to do a full reconstruction or provide design services for a full reconstruction.
And they're exceeding our diversity program, 25, almost 26%.
Yes.
Okay.
So item 2 is a supplement in the amount not to exceed $1,992,882. And this is for additional construction management services under contract 504-54051, which is with Globetrotters Engineering Corporation. As you know, at the beginning of the year, we faced a lot of issues out on these I-90 Western construction contracts, where many of them were behind due to the weather and other reasons. And I'm happy to report all of them are back on schedule now. It took a lot of effort, but all the mainline pavement work is primarily done and is on schedule to be finished up before the end of the year. And this particular contract was challenged a little bit more than some of the other ones in the corridor. And we asked this construction manager, and we're going to ask this construction manager to do additional services for us. They ended up working a lot of nights, a lot of Sundays, and a lot of Saturdays to make up this time for us. Some of the work got resequenced so that it required additional CM services at a time where, you know, based on our original negotiations once again and our initial thought of how this job was going to roll out, we had to make changes. And they are going to close this project out. All the I-90 West jobs were scheduled to close out and finish up their books by spring 2015. This one's probably going to extend a little bit longer, actually into the summer of 2015. That doesn't mean that the motoring public is going to see any impacts, but it does have an impact on the CM services as they have to do all the final paperwork. They are on schedule right now to deliver us more hours than what we originally negotiated in their contract, so I do like to see that, you know, within their original contract, they're actually giving us more hours than we originally negotiated. They are meeting their DBE goal. They are an MBE firm, and I'm recommending approval of this supplement.
Any questions?
Item 3 is a change order, extra work order, requesting funding in the amount of $376,692.25. This is on contract 4168. It's with FH Passion S.M. Nielsen. We are going to be adding a southbound right turn lane, and we're going to realign the center concrete medium on Meacham Road at the road drive. Now we're doing this work here at this location via an intergovernmental agreement with the Village of Schaumburg. The Village has asked for these additional components to be added to the project per the intergovernmental agreement. They can ask for these additional things, and they know that they are going to pay us for them. And that's basically what's going to happen under this particular change order or extra work order. Item 4, this is a change order, extra work order, requesting funding in the amount of $601,504.61. This is on contract 4159 with John Burns Construction. This contract was a very critical advanced construction contract for us. We required this particular contractor to relocate all of our fiber optic facilities. We're on the east portion of I-90 now. They did half of the 25-mile section. We got them going very early. The contractor made a claim for this extra work, actually, due to changed conditions. The original contract specified, and we had hoped, that they would be able to do some of the fiber optic relocation work from the adjacent NICOR right-of-way. We were not able to fully work that out with NICOR ahead of time, so the contractor had to proceed doing the relocation work from our portion of the roadway, from the roadway side of the work zone, which required, you know, more maintenance of traffic and shoulder closures. There was a pretty big grade differential, so they had to use different equipment to do this work. So we have evaluated all these additional claims and costs for extra work and find that they do have merit. The contractor also, I will note, has a DB shortfall right now, which we are evaluating. Actually, Diversity is going to perform a final evaluation on that. So the claim is not the final action on this contract. We have not released our retainers on this, and we also maintain all of our rights to follow up on this DB shortfall if the sanction were reported to be necessary or not. I will note, though, that the work covered by this claim was not a DB subcontractor's work. It was actually the prime's loss of efficiency. So it's artificially lowering the DB percentage because this added work is increasing the total value of the contract, which without, you know, a like increase in the DB involvement. But it's under evaluation right now. I'm working with Gustavo.
Okay, on good. I want to make sure. I'm glad you're on it.
The next several items are final releases of retainage. Item 5 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $56,500. This is on construction contract 4076 with FH Passion S.M. Nielsen and Associates. Contracts finishing under budget. They're meeting their DD goal. Item 6 is a final release of retainage in the amount of $21,303.52 on contract 4088, also with FH Passion S.M. Nielsen. This contract is being completed within budget, and we don't have all the final paperwork in on this contract, but we believe they are going to be meeting or exceeding the DD goal also. Item 7 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $60,198.02 on construction contract 4127 with Illinois Constructors. This contract is being completed within budget, and the DB goal is being met. Item 8 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $34,269.33 on construction contract 5619 with DB firm Natural Creations Landscaping. This contract is also completing within budget. Item 9 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $15,444.89 on construction contract 5671R with Superior Paging. This contract is completing within budget, and I'll note that this is a small business set-aside contract for the toll. Okay. The last two items are the land acquisition items, which we typically defer to executive session for further discussion.
I think we'll do that today, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Paul. Any questions about any of the items?
Going back to item number 4 on the John Burns.
Yes.
The 600 additional, it seemed like there's been another additional request before that one. We get it to the $4,062,000.
Yeah, there have been some other additional work items added to this contract. And
so the original contract was $2.9 million, so there are about $1.1 million in additions.
Correct.
Okay. But yet, it's on the bottom, it says that they've already completed, they've already spent $2.9 million spent by the vendor, which was the original contract, and they're only at 7% DE already.
Correct.
So wouldn't we assume that they're not going to meet the DBE?
And that's why we have to perform this detailed evaluation by diversity to get to the bottom and find out exactly why they were able to do any more than 7.3%. I do know that one of their subs, we got some information. They had some trouble getting approval. A delinquent debt issue that they had to get resolved from the state, which they were not successful in doing, so we couldn't use them. And they have reached out. I know that they did demonstrate some good faith. They did reach out to 4 other DB firms, and they did assign some additional work to them. But we don't have all the details on it, so we wanted to take some time, and we'll come back to you with this, and you'll definitely have a full report before we decide to bring it to the board for final release of the team.
So this one will commit to not doing a final release of retainage until we have this whole DBE issue resolved.
Yes.
Right? Some of them we've allowed to move forward and figured out after to make sure that payments weren't withheld from subs or other things. But this one will make sure that...
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that because there's such a big shortfall in here, it warrants a little extra attention.
Anything else? Okay. So a couple of recusals. Let's take item 1 under engineering, where motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Moves to the full consent board. Item 2, do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. I am recusing myself. Motion passes. Goes to the full consent board. Items. Any objections to taking the next items together, or do you want to take them individually?
Okay.
Take them individually?
No, together.
Together? Okay, items 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. We'll take those together. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent board agenda. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. And the items 10 and 11 we'll discuss, I believe, today in the executive session.
No, actually, yeah.
We're not going to do those 2 items?
We thought we are prepared to do them in full board executive session, but we do have a couple of other items for this.
Okay. We'll defer items 10 and 11 to the full board agenda for exec. Legal.
Thanks, Director. Good morning, all. We have a number of items, starting with an IGA, intergovernmental agreement with Riley Township. This is out west on 90. The board has seen a number of these in the past. We are dealing with 2 bridges, Getty Road and Anthony Road, that the tollway is removing and reconstructing. And this just sets out the protocols we're going to use with the township. One slight difference in agreements like this you've seen, we typically put back the approaches with these bridges as we're reconstructing. Riley Township has some plans for Anthony Road after we get done with our work, so we've agreed essentially to credit payback to them the estimated costs of letting them do the approach work on Anthony. So that's spelled out. Estimate is about $10,000, but we'll take the actual invoice from the township at the end and settle up. Okay. Second item is an IGA with DuPage County. This is in connection with Elgin O'Hare. There's a ramp being constructed right at the center of the action today, about a $38 million project, and this is going to have participation involving congestion mitigation air quality funds that come from the federal level. To deal with this, there is a necessity for local match, which the Illinois Tollway is going to be covering. That is to the tune of about $7.7 million. At the conclusion of this project, this particular ramp is going to remain as an IDOT road. So Illinois Tollway is doing the construction as part of the broader Elgin O'Hare effort. We are performing the role of the local match provider, with this significant portion, 80% coming in federal funding that DuPage County is qualified to ask for under this federal program. So a bit of a mouthful, part of Elgin O'Hare, very straightforward, and this just helps get that math sorted out. Happy to take any questions on that one.
Is that with approval of the county board also, or does it need approval? Or is it already approval?
It does indeed. And Rockland, has that already been?
They'll be taking action on the on this agreement as well.
After
this month.
Yeah, this month, right. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Director. Good question. Number three is an annexation agreement with the Village of Green Oaks. This is up north on 294 near Route 176. The tollway has approximately 0.4-acre parcel, which is sitting just vacant just to the east of 294, right up near Lamb's Farm. On the north side of the street there. And the Village of Green Oaks has some development opportunities in front of them with some TIF district that in order to accomplish what they're trying to achieve, they need to show contiguity in their township. And this almost half-acre parcel actually breaks up that contiguous aspect of their township. So they have contacted the tollway in recent months wondering if we would essentially partner and allow them to quote-unquote annex this parcel. I can tell you as a legal practicality, the annexation is essentially nothing. They are just able to say that in their documents and get their needs taken care of. The tollway retains absolute rights over the property. There is no construction development on the tollway property. And there is no aspect, as you'll see spelled out in our agreement, for them to in any way enforce any local ordinances, taxes, or other regulations on the tollway. This is akin to allowing them to borrow our property in name only. Again, a mouthful, but happy to take questions. This is somewhat of a prelude to a broader discussion I think we're intending to bring to the board. Christy, I don't want to step in front, but on annexation and...
Yeah, I think that the customer service strategic planning committee, we'd like to have a broader discussion about right-of-way. You know, we do get these requests from, you know, local governments, either for this purpose or other purposes for excess tollway right-of-way, whether it's truly excess or it's right-of-way like this that we're maintaining some rights to, but just to develop a broader and establish a larger policy for how we deal with these requests, because obviously economic development is one of our one of the missions that we have as an organization, and I think we'd like to make sure that we're fostering it in a way that's responsible for the tollway. So we'll probably see that at the strategic planning committee meeting at some point in the future.
Okay. Thank you. Fair enough. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Number four is an addendum to an existing IGA that this board approved back in July of 2013. This is with the University of Illinois, and it is to have folks down at the university develop a life cycle assessment tool. This allows the tollway to assess environmental impacts as part of our Move Illinois program. And as the life cycle tool has been developed, we have some more specific pay items that have come in during the course of our construction. This will allow a few changes to some of their computer modules that they're using to provide us with feedback. So what this addendum allows us to do is spend just under $70,000 of the total $1.34 million to allow for some essentially tweaks to their computer modules that will give Paul and the engineering team a little better output. So this will call for a one-year extension of this agreement with U of I through 2015 and increase funding under it for $69,772. Happy to take any questions, but I think that's the sum and substance.
This is helping us reach green outcomes on your side, on the construction side?
Yeah, this whole LCA tool helps us measure, actually quantitatively compare and evaluate the environmental efficiencies and impacts of our work.
Thank
Our next item, number five, will be an addendum to an existing agreement that dates back to March of 2006 to do studies of the Heinz Emerald Dragonfly. And this was part of the Army Corps of Engineering's permit requirements in connection with the Veterans Memorial Tollway and some particular bridges that were part of that project. As part of the permitting process from the Army Corps, fairly extensive studying of this dragonfly and the impacts of the construction on the dragonfly were required. University of South Dakota is now home to a professor, as I understand it, who started at U of I but changed schools mid-course. So this this IGA went along with him. This addendum is going to allow some final work, Rocco may say it better than me, but to watch these dragonflies in this reared state that, we've helped them along with. We're going to take them over the finish line and make sure they can fly.
That's basically, yeah, so we've been, over the last 9 years, we've been doing a research and captive rearing, basically you catch the larva. It's a five-year life cycle. There are many that in this larval stage that will basically, what we're going to do through this agreement in partnership with the Department of Natural Resources and the Forest Preserves, Fish and Wildlife Service, and South Dakota, you're going a little bit above and beyond. It's basically taking them to the point where you could actually release them to create a sustainable habitat. We've got them, I keep saying captivity, but they are in captivity.
They're safely.
We're raising them. Right, exactly.
Preparing now we're them to be released.
This parenting cycle and release them.
Preparing them for independence, as any good parent is supposed to.
And they will be released into the Des Plaines River Valley as part of the overall continued sustainability of the project. So it's been a success, and this is a continuation of that partnership.
So Rocco requires that you extend his parenting agreement for two more years through the end of 2016 for the total additional amount of $75,000. And his dragonflies can go. And it's agreements like this that I went to law school.
But this is part of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit for the veterans. And as you know, we continue to seek permits from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers from our other projects. So important that we fulfill our obligations here and do the right thing by the environment.
It is a federally endangered species.
Yep. Right.
And when we do our work, this is how we try to comply with that right way.
Could we get a picture of that sometime? I can't.
Absolutely. Quite, you know, just
the dragonfly or
never
the larva?
Seen one. Never
maybe
seen the
all.
Dragonfly.
Yeah, maybe all.
You'll see the big green eyes. We'll send the right. picture through.
Moving on to item number six. This is the IGA that Shauna presented most of the detail on this morning with the Alliance for Toll Interoperability. As Shauna indicated, we are essentially just sticking our toe in the water on this one, starting out with a two-year agreement that we do have the ability to step out of should the piloting type programs that Shauna talked about not be to our satisfaction, although we have every reason to think they will be. This sets up the structure for working with this ATI hub. It includes a $20,000 one-time setup fee for all participants and then a monthly agency fee that breaks that $20,000 down in monthly increments. This will start a two-year term, again, something that we could step out of. It also includes a very modest transaction matching fee aspect that is required when we have a successful hit on
it. I think that transaction fee should read 10 cents,
yes,
right? Not 1 cent. So there's a typo
oh,
in the transaction
for
fee.
So the overall number is correct, but it should say 10 instead of 1.
You are right.
That's right.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Thank you.
Okay. Move on to item number 7. This is an IGA with the Illinois Secretary of State, essentially starting a new term on a previously existing relationship, actually longstanding. This allows us access into the Secretary of State's driver's license and vehicle registration information databases. This helps, of course, in our enforcement and, when necessary, processing suspension of registrations if something has gotten to that level with one of our patrons. This will be a two-year agreement, total $100,000, which is very much in line with our last decade-plus of experiences with the SOS. Item number 8 is to request additional funding. This dates back to a prior board resolution, I believe from last year, Paul, maybe the year before, when we had the need to work with a dynamic messaging sign. This is one of the messaging signs that can change. We worked in partnership with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. This was a sign.
Bless you.
A sign just north of the Wisconsin border on 294 that allowed drivers coming from the north to get information before entering the tollway system about certain construction developments and things of that nature. The original estimates on this were, and when Paul, I think we envisioned that they were probably a tad low, and so this will finish off the final costs that have now come out on the project, requiring an additional $70,524.33. The actual final total cost of that project then were $284,427.59. Mm-hmm. Paul, more or less?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we thought we were getting that bargain when they proposed it at $90,000. We knew that all of our DMS signs cost $250,000 or more, so we're not surprised that these are the actual costs coming back at the end of the term.
We have an easement to put this in Wisconsin?
We have. I believe this agreement covers the locating of that sign on their property.
Yeah, insurance-wise, are we covered, indemnified? It's off the system, just because it's off the system.
And work is all wrapped up. This is just finalizing. The signage is actually, I think, out of play now, Paul.
Are we responsible for maintaining it?
I believe we are. And I will get you the definitive answers on both of those questions. You know, I know we're maintaining it. It is for the traffic that is approaching the tollway system from the north, so we want to be able to communicate with those people. That's why we wanted to locate the DMS.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Sure.
Thanks.
Okay, fair enough. Item number 9 is the type of agreement the board's seen in recent months. This is one of our protocol agreements. We call them the utility agreements with a company called Level 3 Communications. These are for parties running fiber cable along the tollway system, and when there is an interference, it spells out the protocol that we'll use, and if there's fee shifting, et cetera, that's needed. And it's time to sign one with Level 3.
How many utility agreements do we have? IGAs with utility agreements with different public utilities.
Yeah. We will need to get you that exact. I know it's in the dozens at this point.
We've seen quite a few recently come through.
Yeah, we have been doing this on a fairly regular basis, and this is important, especially out with Elgin O'Hare.
Right.
As we're starting to bump into folks who, as the tollway is actually building new roadway, these would not have been folks who are running along the tollway historically. So we're trying to get out ahead of these as we're identifying parties that we're going to come in contact with on somewhat of a new basis.
Thank you. Okay.
But we will get to that number.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Item number 10, I believe we would, and 11, we would talk about in executive session today. I think we can jump to item 12, which is tagging along with Mike's indication that we are going to ramp up for a bond financing transaction or refunding. This will get our, consistent with our typical practice of putting formal appointments of our law firms that will assist on this work. So we've got, per our usual rotation that we endeavor with our pool of 10 firms, we will have the firm of Cat Muchin serving as bond counsel on this transaction, Schiff Hardin as issuer's counsel, and making a recommendation to our underwriters on the deal that they utilize Burke Burns and Pinelli. And I would just point out that last firm, Burke Burns, is one of our women-owned businesses that participates in our bond counsel pool. So we're excited to have them on another transaction. Well, that is it for the moment.
Thank you. Any questions for legal? Okay, there being none. Can we take these? We need to take these individually. Or take them as
not at all. 1 through 9 and 12. We can do as a group.
Okay.
12, I think, needs to be separate because of a recusal.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Under legal, items 1 through 9. Right. 1 through 9. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent board agenda. Items 10 and 11 will be discussed today, I believe, in executive session.
They will. Yes, brief.
Item 12, a recusal of Director Darcy. Do I hear a motion to approve item 12?
So moved.
A second? I will second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes, moves to the full consent board agenda. Thank you. Does anybody have finished business? Any new business? Okay. Probably we're going to need a motion to go in executive session.
We'll probably need a 10-minute break or something.
Okay. So if a counselor can give us a motion to go in executive session, then we'll take a 10-minute break.
Perfect. If you could have a motion pursuant to exceptions in the Illinois Open Meetings Act, specifically Section 2C11, to discuss litigation involving the toll way.
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We are now in executive session. Thank you, everyone. And don't need a motion or anything at this point.
Motion. You're back in public session. Motion for number 10 and 11 under legal. Okay. For
is there an? Do we take these together or take them separately?
You're welcome to take them together. Sure.
Any opposition? Take them together.
Okay.
We have a motion to approve items 10 and 11 under legal.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes. And it moves to the full consent board agenda. There being no further agenda items, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We are now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.